Scientists theorize that there are many dimensions of time and space, and that we on Earth are limited to just one of them. If we could adjust our sensors properly, they say, we could see a parallel universe right next to our own. It's similar in the world of the spirit. In a dimension we can't normally see is the army of God, his angelic agents, ready to serve at a moment's notice. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the invisible world, where battles are lost and won. Now, turn to 2 Kings chapter 6 for more of a message on angels, God's invisible agents.
Please notice carefully that God's word is more powerful than these armies. When God wants to defend Israel, God is able to intervene, and he has multiple armies and various strategies at his disposal that he can deploy at any moment to defend his people whenever he wants to defend them. Because God is sovereign, and God is the one who rules in the affairs of men. The best way to illustrate this is Pilate. Imagine Pilate is standing in the presence of Jesus, and he says, "Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Boy, that sounds confident. Oh, imagine the words of Jesus. You know them by memory, don't you? Jesus looks at him and calmly said, "Thou hast have no power at all against me unless it were given to thee from above." Wow, Pilate, don't you know that the air you breathe, don't you know that the brains that I gave you, don't you know that the position that you are now in is all because I have allowed it? It is under my hands. You can do nothing, absolutely nothing, unless I gave you the ability to do it. And when we look at what's happening in America, and when we think of the designs of radical Islam and the number of Christians that are being killed today simply because they are Christians, and throughout the world, those kinds of persecutions and all that is going through, would we remember that God's word is more powerful than the armies and the designs of men who strut on the stage of history, believing themselves to be strong? But when God wants to defend his people, he has adequate resources to do it. And they can do nothing unless it is given to them from above. You need to hang on to that in a world that has lost its way. God is confidently in charge. There's a second lesson. The first is that God's word is more powerful than the armies of the world. Secondly, Elisha's prayer. Did you notice this? Elisha's prayer did not bring the angels. Elisha's prayer only opened the eyes of the servant to see angels that were already there. They already were in place, and Elisha knew it. Whether he could see them or not at that point, I don't know. But Elisha was absolutely confident that in the midst of a situation where everyone was ganging up on him, where a whole army was sent to cut off his head, that he could stand there with utter confidence, believing without wavering that if God wanted to deliver him, he could, and also believing that at all times, when it comes to believers, there are more on our side than there are on the enemy's side, because God has already won the victory. There was no use praying, "Oh God, send angels." No use praying, "Oh God, send angels." The angels were there. Just open your eyes and see what God has already done. That is always my greatest need, and that is your greatest need as well. Always, that we might be able to see what God has done. There are so many things we pray for that really God has already accomplished. For example, we say, "Lord, defeat Satan." Well, Satan has been crushed and defeated. Now, he's out on bond, I understand that, out on bail, and and he's doing a lot of damage. But when we confront him, our prayer should be one of thanksgiving. Oh God, I thank you for the defeat of Satan. I thank you that that has already been accomplished, and I stand now on what you've done, rather than asking you to do something more except to apply what you've done to my situation. Because God is God, and he is totally sovereign over your situation. And you know, we pray, oh God, bless us. And it's okay to pray that way. I'm sure that I pray that way many times for a specific situation. But how about this verse in Ephesians? He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. How about a prayer that says, Lord, you've blessed me with all spiritual blessings. Help me to know what they are and how they can be applied to my life. It's already done. The blessing has already been given in Jesus. So Elisha's prayer didn't bring the angels. It only revealed them. There's another lesson, and that is that only God can open people's eyes and also blind them. You'll notice that the text says very clearly here, and the Lord opened the servant's eyes. Who else could do that? Could Elijah do that and say, well, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like you to be able to peer into the Spirit's world. Here's some eye drops that'll help you to do that. The Spirit's world is ultimately God's domain, even though you have angels and demons interfacing all the time in that Spirit world. The fact is that only God can open our eyes to see spiritual truth. I don't expect ever to see angels the way in which Elisha and the servants saw them. But the Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 1. This is why Paul says, and this is the way we ought to pray for one another. You know, sometimes we say, well, I don't know how to pray for these missionaries. What are their needs? You always know the need of the missionaries. Missionaries you've never met, missionaries in countries whose name you cannot pronounce, you know in advance what their need is, because it's mentioned there in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, about verse 19. It says, the eyes of your heart, I'm praying that they might be enlightened, that you might know the hope of your calling and God's inheritance in the saints. And then he goes on to talk about the sovereignty of Jesus, who is above every principality and every power and every name that is named. And if you don't know how to pray for a missionary, you pray that prayer, because my greatest need and your greatest need is always to see the triumph of Jesus and to have the eyes of our hearts open so that we can grasp it. Apart from the power of the Spirit, we can't. We can't. And the Bible says this regarding faith. Faith is the assurance, this is of course Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Let's take this slowly. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen. We are, after all, in a series of messages on the unseen world. Faith is a conviction of things unseen based on the promises of God, based on the teaching of God through his word. And so the way in which we encounter the world is to know that that spirit world, if we are believers, is on our side, in the sense that God is on our side and nothing is happening without his permission. Satan cannot wiggle unless God says, okay, I'm giving you permission to wiggle. And so as a result of that, faith is built into our hearts, the eyes of our hearts being enlightened, that we might know the hope of our calling. How do you know when this has happened to somebody? What's a practical test on whether or not somebody really gets it or doesn't get it? The way you find out is listen to them pray. And if their prayer is just begging, 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 they don't get it. If their prayer is, oh God, these are my needs, and you know, we explain it all to God, and we say, did you get it, God? You know, and do I have to go over this again for you maybe tomorrow? You know, that's the way we sometimes come to God, as if we're talking to an uncle who just doesn't understand that we need money. And so we explain it to God over and over again. Well, we don't have to do that. But here's the test. Are you just simply asking God, or are you thanking God? if you begin to thank God. After all, if God be for us, who can be against us? If you begin to thank God for situations even that are distressful, if you begin to thank God for battles that are taking place in your soul, because you see the greater glory that comes to God when those battles are won, even as we heard in this marvelous testimony this morning, when you begin to live that way, then you begin to realize that God is in control and your eyes are opened. And as for the Syrians, God blinded them. And then when they got to Samaria, God opened their eyes. What a miracle that was. And they discovered that there they are in Samaria, right where the king is, the king that they were not looking for, namely the king of Israel. Finally, it's not necessary. It's not necessary for us to see angels in order to appreciate them. It's not necessary for us to see angels in order to appreciate them. Let me ask you a question. What would have happened if the servant had not had his eyes opened? Would the horses and chariots of fire have been around the mountain anyway? Of course. We don't see angels. To my way of thinking, I don't think that I have ever seen one, though I live with somebody who comes close to that. I'll just let that remark float out there, and you can do with it whatever you want. But we don't see angels. In fact, here's the interesting thing. Look at the text. God never even used these chariots of fire. They were just on call in case he needed them.
Isn't it wonderful to realize that God is totally sovereign and he can send angels to a situation? And then he can even choose a different way to deliver his servants. This is Pastor Lutzer. Perhaps I'm talking to you today and you are going through a very difficult time. It may be a relational issue. Maybe you've discovered that you have terminal cancer. Maybe financial. God sees you. God knows you. The number of hair on your head is known by him. And he is able to provide. Would you continue to trust him? And you know, the message that you have just listened to is actually part of a larger series of messages entitled The Invisible World. And at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours. Now, next time, I'll continue to speak about angels, but after that, we are going to be talking about such subjects as Jesus, the devil, and you. As I frequently emphasize in this series of messages, if we could see the atmosphere, we'd discover that it is filled with activity. Well, God bless you. I hope that you have a good day all day. And above all, tune in next time right here at Running to Win as we continue to talk about angels.
You've heard Erwin Lutzer with more of Angels, God's Invisible Agents. Another message in an 8-part series on the invisible world. Tomorrow, final thoughts on the mighty host all around us that we cannot see. These messages will make the invisible world very real to each of us. The entire series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the invisible world. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.